Night. Big Sin is in the building over there. Your boy Hollywood J Black, we in the building right here. Simple Black Entertainment is in the building right here. And you know what that means. It's Wednesday. It's time for That NFL Show. We had a lot go down in week two. So much drama in the LBC. It's kind of hard being Snoopy on Double G. That made no sense, but let's make dollars. One thing for damn sure, though, Bill Belichick gonna beat the shit out of a rookie. Let's go! That was an ass whooping. Damn.
All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. I know that is usually done by Hollywood, and I know it's usually on our goddamn reactions, but you know what? Fuck him and fuck it. Let's do this shit right here.
You feel?
The reason I said fuck him is because of our record this week. So week one, I had a nice little cushy lead. Week two, my ass went 500. I went 8-8.
You went 8-8. What I forgot. What did I go?
Hollywood went 13-3.
That's right, baby. Playoff team. Woo!
So, well, I'm a playoff team in the NFC too, so don't worry about it. So with our total weekly now, I'm 18-14. Hollywood is 20-12. He's got that little two games on me now after one motherfucking week. Goddamn sons of bitches.
Just had to get back on track. You know what I'm saying? It just takes one. Everybody gets one, Big Sin. Everybody gets one.
All right, so we're going to run down to week two. What happened? Who was horrible? Who was good? And we want to know if, for some reason, all Jets quarterbacks see ghosts against the New England Patriots defense.
Apparently only rookies especially do.
Sam Darnold was in his second year when it happened to him. So,
well, did he even start his first year?
Yeah, he did. Remember, they threw him in like they did Zach Wilson.
And didn't the same result happen? It's just yes. The second year was worse.
Oh. Yes. Okay, so let's get started with last week's Thursday night game as we had the Washington football team led by Tyler Heinicke defeat the New York Giants and a game that the Giants are horrible. Here's how fucked. Okay, so I wanted to share this stat. I've been waiting to share this stat with you, Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for this one?
Yes, sir.
In two games this year, Saquon Barkley has a total of 39 yards, which includes a 41-yard touchdown run.
See, that's what happened. What did I say, Sin, last week? What did I say? Do you remember this conversation that me and you had on this show regarding Saquon Barkley?
Yes.
And I said that ever since Joe Judge took over as coach, Saquon Barkley has not been Saquon Barkley. It has been literally the opposite.
And it's also because Daniel Jones is the leading rusher on that team.
Yeah. And they're now just starting to take the chains off of Danny Jones. And had they probably did that a lot sooner, they might be 1-1. Because, listen, they had an opportunity to win the game last week. Just Danny Dimes decided to take the game into his own hands late. And it was a... Like the girl JoJo said, you know, it's a little too late, a little too long. You know, you can't wait. You know what I'm saying? It was too late by the time that happened.
I do want to give one other stat and shout out to somebody.
Yes.
What's that wide receiver on Washington's name? McLaurin?
McLaurin? I know what you're talking about.
Number 17.
Yeah, I know you're talking about the rook.
But my man right there, in his two years in the NFL, has caught 17 touchdowns from 8 different quarterbacks.
Jesus Christ!
In 2 years, hey, that man putting in work.
Lady Di's in the building. How you doing, Lady Di? What's good?
What's good, Di? What's good, girl?
So, my big question is, when we did this NFL preview 6 weeks ago, well, no, 7 weeks ago, I want to say, when we talked about the East, right?
Yeah, that was the first one, yes.
Remember we had this conversation about the Washington defense. My question is, where the fuck did it go?
Yeah, it went to where they are now, for some reason, Chase Young and Mr. Sweat are both being double teamed and nobody else can get to the quarterback. It's weird because the other three players last year showed the ability to get the quarterback.
And all of a sudden, and nothing's changed. Nothing's changed in that regard.
No.
Well, we're glad that you called us live too, Lady. It was good to always see you.
For real. Hell yeah.
That's the question I had. When we talked about this, we straight out said, we said that this Washington defense looks like they're going to be great and they're going to be monstrous going into this year. Mm-hmm. Now
they were considered they were considered elite. Now they're considered leakage.
They cost a few fantasy owners some games, I'll tell you that much. And now everybody's going to go back to the drawing board. I'm just saying. Who would have thought that Danny Dimes was going to ball out?
But Washington got the dub, and that's all that really matters. Washington got the dub.
Yeah. As ugly as it was, they did get the dub.
The Giants are 0-2, and the Washington football team are 1-1. So.
Yeah. But at least there's something to build off of now. Because remember, we thought that New York was just an absolutely abysmal team with no talent.
Well, they got Kenny Galladay. They upgraded at wide receiver. They got Saquon Barkley healthy for the first time in his 3-year career.
And they still haven't used any of them.
And they still have problems. And they have a shit offensive line still.
Yeah, but that's when you see. I think in the game, Daniel Jones just said "fuck this." He got a case of the fuckets. You know.
Sometimes you have to when an offense actually has talent on it and you can't move the ball. Sometimes you have to say "fuck it." We've seen it many a times with certain quarterbacks, and Danny Dimes is just the most recent.
Yep. Well, hopefully this changes everything. I hope that it does change everything. It gives something the Giants something to build off of, which they had nothing to build off of the last 2 years.
Exactly.
So
next up we have a game that we differed in our opinion because for some reason I decided to trust the fake 11-0 of the Pittsburgh Steelers from last year. Seeing if they show up this year against the Las Vegas Raiders, and I'm gonna say something that I didn't think I'd be saying this year, my friend.
What is that?
Derek Carr is looking like a legit MVP candidate in the first 2 weeks of this season.
The move to Vegas, this is the first time that they've had a home with fans, although they played at home
the thing is, this is the first time they've actually owned a home in their franchise. Because Al Davis, all the years owning the Los Angeles Raiders and the Oakland Raiders, always rented property.
Yeah.
This is the Raiders' home. And they went to Pittsburgh and did the job. But what I'm saying is John Gruden, I think, is coaching better now that Josh Jacobs is hurt because he's letting Derek Carr handle business.
Well, now, and this is the thing, we're going to talk about last year going into this year. Last year, towards the back half of the season, after the Raiders beat the Chiefs they beat them at the beginning of the season, wasn't it?
They beat them at the beginning of the season. Because remember, they were 6-2 at one point in time.
Yeah.
And they ended up 6-10.
Yeah. They had a lot to build off of. Even in the losses, you see that it was still almost a work in progress. Although you had Aguilar finally made a name for himself once again in Oakland enough to where Oakland, Vegas, to where he finally went over to New England.
Yep.
Hunter Renfro, he proved himself to be a decent second receiver when given the opportunity to. Your man Darren Waller, though.
Yeah, Darren Waller last year had a fantastic season. The first game of this year, we talked about it last week. He was targeted way too many times early in that game. That's why they got down, but they came back and won. Because of a very leaky Baltimore Ravens defense.
He had him on his fantasy team. That's
I know. We talked about it. But with Josh Jacobs not being on the field, John Gruden can't play the old school type of football he likes to play. Now last year all season, Derek Carr only had 12 passes for more than 20 yards. Mm-hmm. This year already, he is 8 for 11 on passes traveling more than 20 yards. So they are finally taking the top off the offense. Yeah. Henry Ruggs is actually beating people off the line finally.
Yeah, Ruggs is good.
And this team is starting to come together. My main concern about this team is it going to be like the last 4 years under Gruden in the second half of the season? Yeah, I'm just going to shit the bed for the rest of the year.
Well, I think the specter of where they're going to play is gone now.
And now they got the fans, so they're excited.
Yeah, the fans, they packed the house then down there in Vegas, didn't they?
But going to Pittsburgh, and beating this team. Yes, TJ Watt is out, got hurt, he pulled his groin. We out for a couple weeks, so we don't know what Pittsburgh is going to be over the next few weeks.
Yeah, well, listen, after week one, being on the road to me now means absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. Because in week one, if we talked about at the beginning of last week's show, that eight teams on the road came into other people's houses and beat the shit out of them.
Yep. I do believe that having fans in Allegiant, finally, after the first year of no fans, the only teams that are used to having no fans are the Chargers and the old Browns.
Yeah.
And the thing about the crowd here in Vegas, you know it's a diverse team. You know the state out here. Everybody, there's not a whole shit ton of Raider fans out here.
Yeah.
They go there and they're representing the city of Las Vegas. That's what the stadium is representing.
Remember what my question was, is that when they moved to Vegas, I said, I know how Vegas is, right? Mm-hmm. Vegas is at its peak, because people were talking about populations. At its literal peak, Vegas only has 500,000 people who actually live in Las Vegas.
We have a corner of the Nevada.
That's it. That's it. You know, my statement was always going to be, every city has like a metropolitan area of 3, 4, 5, 6 million. How does Vegas find a way to energize its fan base enough to where they can consistently get 50,000, 60,000 people to want to go to games and sell out the stadium for 8 times out of the year?
But this is why we love the Golden Knights.
Yep.
Because they came here and they proved it can work. The Las Vegas Aces came here and proved it can work. Mm-hmm. Now we got the Raiders, and guess what? People in Vegas are showing the fuck up. They might not be a fan of the Raiders, but they're there supporting Las Vegas, and they're cheering for Las Vegas in that stadium.
Yeah, and it's showing and proving that, I mean, eventually they could put another basketball stadium on that complex if they chose to. They're probably not. They don't need to.
The NBA team they're talking about, because they can just move right into T-Mobile at any time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I said they wouldn't need to, but I'm saying if they really wanted to, they could. Mm-hmm. If they didn't want to share a space with anybody, as long as somebody's willing to pony up the money.
Yep.
Because Vegas ain't giving away shit for free. We don't do taxes out there. We ain't trying to charge on them.
We tax our tourists. That's what we
tax. We tax the tourists. You want to park at the hotel? $15 make you holla.
So, congrats to the Raiders starting off 2-0. They've looked very good. Derek Carr is looking very good. Next up, we have your San Francisco 49ers taking out the Philadelphia Eagles.
We finally broke the curse of mobile quarterbacks giving us fits. Even down two corners going into this game.
And then losing three of your running backs during the game.
Yeah, you know, you win some, you lose some.
You beat the Eagles. What did it cost you? Everything.
Yes, everything.
Except George Kittle and Nick Bosa. So, well,
you know what the messed up part about it is? Had not been for the fact that the Baltimore Ravens grabbed every single running back off of free agency to fix their problem, we would have been able to grab some running backs off of free agency to fix our problem. Oh, fucking Christ! They took Le'Veon Bell and fucking Latavius Murray. Who do we have? Kerryon Johnson. Oh.
And I really feel bad for the rookie, what's his name, Furrer. Very first carry in the game, and there was a dirty hit by the Eagles and elbowed him in the side of the fucking neck. Mm-hmm. Dirty as shit. That was so fucking dirty. You don't lead a tackle like this. No. I play defense. You don't lead a tackle like this, ever.
No. Things that piss me off for 1,000, that's one of them.
Because me and John, we were watching the game, it's like, fuck, that just really happened?
Yeah, that's
I understand leading with the head, but leading with the elbow?
That's right, baby. Macho Man up Randy Savage. That's who it was.
Ooh, yeah. Mm.
Straight Dusty Rose fucking Michael P.S. Hayes, the elbow bitch ass.
But the Niners, did they say the defense, did they say Nick Bosa is a problem?
It was ugly, but we did it. That's
Debo Samuel is proving to be a fucking problem. Kyle Shanahan called out your man Brandon Ayuk for not being serious in practice, and he finally got the ball thrown to him because he actually showed up this week.
Yes. A lot of problems. The thing, Eagles defense was the defense that came to play in week one.
In week one. They didn't come this week.
They didn't come this week. We won 17-11. We didn't blow out the other team like we did last week.
And the Eagles were putting it on you early.
Yeah. This was the case of we got our heads out of our asses once we figured out who we can give the ball to that wasn't going to die. You know, and then just kind of go from there. That's usually where it starts. As long as we can figure out which one of you guys aren't going to die? It's going to be you?
And again, your two most consistent people on that offense, so three, are Debo Samuel, George Kittle, and Juice.
Yes.
Juice never gets the praise, but I'm going to praise Juice because that man is amazing.
Oh, man. I hope he's like a better Tom Rathman. And I hope that doesn't offend any 49er historians. Listen, if Tom Rathman can do half the stuff that Juice does off the block, I think Joe Montana would have had a longer career in San Francisco. I ain't saying. I'm just saying.
All right. So next question I have for you is Tyrod Taylor the most cursed player in NFL history?
Shit.
My man out here showing out as the Texans starting QB. And then he's hurt again.
I sat here laughing because my boy had picked him up off of free agency, right? And I said, the moment that you do this, you pick him up and put him on your fantasy team, because he did this 2 years in a row now.
He did last year he was assassinated.
That's what I was...
I said, last year they hired Hitman 47 to collapse his man lung.
Uh-huh. let's put some numbing agent and some air in your fucking lung real quick. It's no big...
Dr. Walker, all you hear is...
Is that normal, guys? Is that no? I can't breathe. Oh,
and no, it's not COVID.
No, not COVID at all. This was, oh man. So my man gets hurt. Deshaun Watson's not active at all. By the way,
it's so bad for Deshaun Watson right now. They're not even having him active for the next game.
So my question is that right now they only have the practice squad quarterback who now has to get elevated into the game. And because the rookie's starting.
We'll talk about this week's Texans game.
But
we're talking about week three.
Yeah, well, I know. But
just as a precursor, they are playing. Oh. They are playing. Where the fuck are they? Oh. They're playing an undefeated team. They're playing Sam Darnold and the Carolina Panthers on Thursday. Tomorrow night.
So they're going to be 3-0, but we'll talk about it in a minute. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's talk about this game that happened here. The Texans, weren't the Texans up early fast?
The Texans were up early fast, and Tyrod got hurt, and the Browns started doing Brown things. Jarvis Landry is now on IR, which hurts the Browns a lot. Yeah, but the Nick Chubb, Lamar Hunt backfield still cannot be stopped. Kareem Hunt, why don't you keep calling that Lamar?
You know why? Because I'll tell you why. I know why you do it. Because Kareem Hunt used to play for the Chiefs. The owner of the Chiefs used to be Lamar Hunt. The Hunt family.
That's what I think it is. Okay, Kareem Hunt. Yeah, no disrespect to Kareem. The man's a beast. But him and Nick Chubb, most dangerous backfield in the NFL.
Yes, without a shadow of a fucking doubt. So now we've come to a point, though, in this game. Now we got to a point where they only have one quarterback now. A rookie had to go against a stingy Browns defense.
Yeah, a defense that has Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney on the line.
Absolutely. And you could also guess what the result of that one was at that point. It was pretty much a wrap at that.
It was fatality.
Cleveland wins.
Losing Landry hurts. They will probably activate Odell Beckham this week.
Yeah, they may get Odell Beckham. They may. Emphasis on the word may.
But what you're going to be seeing a lot of this week from the Browns is run, because the Bears defense has issues against the run. So
well, it's a good thing. It's a Thursday night game, right?
No, the Browns game is on Sunday.
Oh, Browns on Sunday. It's the Thursday night game is the
for Texas.
The Texas game. Okay, well, I'm about to say. So at least you get a whole week to establish how much you're going to run.
Yeah. So which and with Andy Dalton being hurt, Justin Fields is starting for the Bears this week against the Browns.
Then this is going to be – we're going to have to rely on this defense to make sure that they do what they need to do. But, again, we'll talk about that when we get to the breakdowns.
All right. Next up, we have a surprise undefeated team. Teddy Bridgewater and that vaunted defense of the Broncos are back. But they picked on the Jacksonville Jaguars and poor Trevor Lawrence. He has been just handed a shit show and been told, win us the championship.
So let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer it. You don't have to answer it because this is going to be a tough one, okay? Right. Who had it worse? Deshaun Watson and having to try and trust Bill O'Brien coming into the end of this past season? Or Trevor Lawrence getting drafted, getting no help, having to come into this season?
Trevor Lawrence, because he has to deal with Urban Meyer and his inability to do anything at the pro level, and you don't even know if he's going to make it through the season because he might get a headache and retire.
God damn.
And the fact that in the preseason, he targeted Tim Tebow as a tight end 15 times in the first game, and now Tim Tebow is not even on the team. And the fact that the Clemson offense is kind of pro style, but Urban Meyer runs a college offense, and it is a clash of styles between what Trevor Lawrence is used to and what Urban Meyer is doing on the field.
Well, I would have felt better if they would have been able to pull Dabo Sweeney instead of Urban Meyer to become the coach.
But remember, in Ohio State, some legal stuff was coming up, and Urban Meyer all of a sudden got a migraine and retired.
He said, no.
He pulled the Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll ran to the NFL. He didn't retire first, but he just ran to the NFL.
he pulled a sinful black and we out this thing deuces. That's what he did.
Fade to black.
That's the problem. Dabo Sweeney runs a very much pro style offense. It's hilarious because Ohio State's running backs have always been monstrous, and Ohio State's offense under Urban Meyer has been dominated by run.
And their quarterbacks were always good wide receivers. Yeah. It's the only position they played in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because none of them has started a game at quarterback and succeeded.
Yeah. Which is hilarious that the second African-American quarterback that they actually get was absolutely monstrous by the name of Justin Fields. You know who that guy is. I don't have to tell you who he is. And it wasn't under Urban Meyer. It was under Ryan Day. So, you know what I'm saying? Urban Meyer had nothing to do with the success of Justin Fields at all. Ryan Day came in with a pro-style offense and eventually just jettisoned out Urban Meyer. Well, when Urban Meyer said deuces, Ryan Day said, I got this, fam. I'm going to show you how to...
You're mistaken. It wasn't Justin Fields.
I thought Fields played for Ohio State.
No, he was at Alabama and then he went to Oklahoma.
No.
You're talking about Jalen Hurts.
No.
No. What was it? Hurts that went to Oklahoma.
Hurts was in Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Yeah, Fields. I know.
Stay out, Sin. Stop doing drugs.
I'm sorry.
I got the young black quarterbacks confused.
We talked about the fact that Ohio State has never produced a good quarterback, and we were worried about Justin Fields going to Chicago. Remember, we talked about this in our draft show. Do you not remember this?
I remember now.
We said that was our biggest worry.
Yeah, about because Justin the Patriots Fields. Were going to take Justin Fields if he was still on the board.
Yeah, we said that they might not be. The fact that we don't know if he's going to make a good pro quarterback because he's from Ohio State.
I apologize. I reneged my comments from about 3 minutes ago.
Because Urban Meyer doesn't know how to make quarterbacks, okay?
Urban Meyer doesn't know how to make a sandwich.
Remember, we got the good bad. That was Troy Smith.
How do you know if you're irrelevant? How do you know if you're an irrelevant college coach? When you coach a team for 15 years, you leave and nothing changes and you're still winning.
Oh, you mean – no, that's not true. It's when you leave and your team actually gets better.
Yeah, that's right, too. Chip Kelly in Notre Dame.
Fuck, remember when he was a coach in Oregon? Oregon actually went on a rampage for a few
years. He went to Notre Dame, sucked ass, and now he's going to go to UCLA. It is what it is. All right, next up, I talked about this man was going to have a resurgence getting out of New York. But we also called last week that the Saints were not going to show up against Carolina. Oh, New Orleans Saints got their asses whooped by the Carolina Panthers.
It's hilarious that we thought that, and then my dumb ass still took Alvin Kamara in the daily fantasy because I had enough money to pull him at running back. And I just wanted to shoot myself in the foot.
And so the Carolina Panthers embarrassed that team.
Jesus Christ. We said it. We said
Jameis
it.
Jameis Winston reverted back to his Tampa Bay days.
So how bad was let me ask you something, though. This Carolina defense has been bonkers. This straight no-name defense, yo.
You got to remember, last year we talked about that. They were up and coming. Mm-hmm. This year, they're here.
Very much here.
And now you have a very competent quarterback in Sam Darnold who has a chip on his shoulder for getting treated like shit in New York by Adam Gase. You have Robbie Anderson, who loves Sam Darnold. He loved him when they were both in New York.
Yeah.
You have Christian McCaffrey, who's doing Christian McCaffrey things. You have a good team in Carolina.
Man, I tell you, I forgot who the coach of Carolina is, but I bet you when he walked into this 2 years ago, I bet he didn't think he was going to end up this good.
Yeah, he didn't have Cam was on his way out. Fucking Kyle Allen followed Ron Rivera like a dog. Washington, fucking.
He had Teddy Bridgewater and a bunch of nobodies. That was it. That's what he started with.
And then McCaffrey got hurt. Yep. And he only had Mike Davis. So when McCaffrey got back, him and Mike Davis couldn't coexist. So the running game went to shit.
Jesus Christ. Because they tried to run him and Mike. They're like, you can't do that.
If McCaffrey's on the field, give him the goddamn ball.
Yeah. And you just got to find a way to get him touches and keep him healthy. Those are two things. You know what I'm saying? Give him the touches, keep him healthy. And if he does get hurt, make sure you have somebody that's not going to take away.
Because spoiler report, Mike Davis ain't doing shit in Atlanta.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. But to be fair, ain't nobody doing shit in Atlanta to begin with. So
I actually feel bad for Matty Meltdown at this moment.
I told you. This is going to be week three of I told you guys 6 weeks ago you should have traded his ass. That's what.
So. I don't want to talk about it yet, but I just want to throw this fun stat out there. Uh-huh. Matt Ryan threw 4 touchdowns in that game against the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. 1 to Calvin Ridley, 1 to another wide receiver on his team, and 2 to the same defender in Tampa
Bay. Mike Williams,
who took them both back for touchdowns. That game was 28-27 at one point in time. In the fourth quarter, the final score was 48-28.
Who would ever think in their right mind Matt Shaw being on the Falcons bench for so long that he ended up turning Matt Ryan into Matt Shaw. That's for anybody that was a Texans fan, you know what Matt Shaw was known for later in his Texans career.
Not only that, Texans fans treated Matt Shaw like shit. He gave him to play his ass off, and then you guys cheered when he got hurt.
That was foul. But you know what? He shouldn't have thrown all them pick sixes, okay? It was so bad, they made a pizza in Houston after him. The Matt Shaw, you pick six toppings, $9.99.
All right, next up we have a team that is looking very dangerous, taking on a team with a quarterback who somehow sprained both his ankles. The LA Rams beat up on the Indianapolis Colts this week. Dude, Matt Stafford looks comfortable as shit. As the Rams quarterback.
Hold on. I gotta put this up. We're gonna need this soundbite. Hold on. Give me a second. We definitely need this soundbite. Hold on.
Me and Hardy were talking about it the other day. How the hell you sprain both your ankles?
I'm about to tell you why in a minute. Hold on. I'm gonna tell you why.
Is our boy coming back? Is our boy showing up?
No, not Denny Green. Not Denny Green, but I got something even more special though. Give me a second. I'm gonna put this back. I'm gonna get you a little sound bite.
Hold on. Achilles TA from the rundowns?
No. I got you. Hold on. Give me a second. Here you go. Oh wait. You ready for this one?
Yes.
Hold on. Give me a second. I'm pulling up. Wake up.
Man, I feel like the Colts offense right now.
Um, I got you. Really? You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some guys have all the luck. I was born with glass bones and paper skin. Every morning I break my legs. And every afternoon I break my arms. At night, I lie awake in agony until my heart attacks put me to sleep. Oh, no. No. Ow.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Carson Wentz's career.
Perfect soundbite. I don't understand how somebody can sprain both ankles. It never in the history of football, not ever. I've heard somebody.
When Frank Reich came out, I was like, "Yeah, Carson has both his ankles sprained."
What?
Aaron Donald put him in an ankle lock with both feet? Is that what the fuck happened to you?
Reporters like, sir, can you repeat that again? Yeah. He sprained both.
Yeah.
What?
He's like, yeah, Carson Wentz, his ankles are like ACLs. All he's doing is sprain and tear. Don't worry about it.
Oh, my gosh.
So the Rams look like a legit team this year. Indianapolis was better with a guy with 17 kids running their offense.
Listen, because the guy with 17 kids played quarterback long enough to know when not to die.
And the guy with 17 kids never got hurt.
Very true. Very true. Old reliable, ladies and gentlemen. Old fucking reliable.
Whereas Carson Wentz, a.k.a. Samuel Jackson's character of glass, gets hurt every other play.
Fucking two sprained ankles.
But it sets up a very interesting matchup this week involving the Rams. We'll get to that soon. Yeah. Next up, we have Kenny Brian Flores sacrificed Tua Tagovailoa for their win over the Patriots the week before, and now Tua Tagovailoa has fractured ribs and is out indefinitely as the Buffalo Bills beat the living hell out of the Miami Dolphins.
That was the Bills' revenge game. They shouldn't have lost that game in week one.
They lost that game to the Steelers, but they didn't show up yet.
Yeah, remember I said they can't go 0-2 in the NFC. I mean the AFC.
AFC East, yeah.
You can't. Not if you're the Bills. Not
because you're the Patriots back there. Like
you give Bill Belichick Bill Belichick an inch.
I'm going 10 miles on your ass.
Just like he did on the New York Jets. Anyways.
But yeah, that's actually the next game we'll talk about after we talk about the Bills swamping of the Miami Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa. This dude. So last year you had a very capable Ryan Fitzpatrick there. You put Tua out there and we saw what happened. Then now we have a scared to stand on his once injured leg, Jacoby Brissett, trying to run a team that doesn't have an offensive line.
Jacoby better learn real quick, real fast, because a broken rib ain't no joke. If he gets
fractured
rib can easily turn into a broken rib, which could then easily, depending on how bad it gets broken, turn into a punctured lung.
Because every time he breathes or sneezes, guess what? That shit's moving and it hurts.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what you have to consider when you're doing that. So Jacoby need to learn how to. You better learn how to run, basically.
How to trust his leg again.
Trust the leg and run, because they ain't going nowhere if they don't figure this shit out. And just like I said about the Bills, you don't want to you know that the Jets are completely out of the equation now. You don't want to go 1-2 this late in the season, having to deal with a now resurgent Bill Belichick and New England Patriots. And now the Bills are back in the win column again. Yeah, you.
Yep. So now the Bills, Patriots, and Dolphins are all 1-1, and the Jets are 0-2. So,
as they should.
So let's just talk about these Jets. Zach Wilson needs God.
If you cannot, if we predicted, all right, we're not experts, right? Do we have degrees in sports psychology?
Not at all.
Do we have the multi-million-dollar jobs that the ESPN guys have?
Not at all, but the problem here is, okay, so I went at halftime to go get an energy drink and get a case of beer at the store. Mm-hmm. And I turn on my car and I'm driving. All I hear is this. What the hell was Zach Wilson doing running backwards and throwing a ball right to Devin McCourty when there was no defenders in the backfield chasing him? And then the funniest moment came when halftime was up and you saw your boy, the coach for the Jets.
I know you're talking about.
Robert Saleh holding Zach Wilson's helmet, and it looked like he was saying, "We wear green. There's nobody wearing green on that team. We wear green." Because he threw four interceptions and got sacked four times in that game.
Well, okay. So the reason why I have made the statement that I made, right, is that we all know that Bill Belichick eats rookie quarterbacks, okay? We know this, okay?
He has a record of 24-6 against rookie quarterbacks.
The league knows this, okay? The league. So when you come into this game, you have to know that Bill Belichick is going to give your quarterback absolute fits and throw things at him that he has never seen before at the college level.
Yeah, when you have Matt Judon and Dante Hightower as linebackers on the edge of the line being edge rushers, Zach Wilson does not know what to fucking do.
Nope. They need to have come up with a better game plan going into this game to limit how much Zach Wilson is back there throwing passes. Absolutely no excuse for what the New York Jets did, except for the fact that they're the New York Jets. It's kind of expected at this point. But I'm just being honest. Listen, they knew. Like, the Patriots are who you thought they were.
Yeah, they are the epitome of that.
Yeah, they are rookie quarterback killers, hence the record. Why would you kill your quarterback and break his confidence in such a way? And it's, you need to take the ball out of your quarterback hand.
And not only that, the Patriots coming into this year have an elite defense.
That's what I'm saying. Listen, you are not with the rookie quarterback ever going to outcoach Bill Belichick. Ever. Ever.
Especially a rookie coach with a rookie quarterback.
Ever. The only guy with a defensive mind that's as good as Bill Belichick's is, and I'm not even saying like as good, but close, is Rex Ryan. And that's because his daddy, Buddy Ryan, was the absolute king of defenses. Okay? Yep. That's it.
And Rex only beat Bill Belichick three times.
Yeah.
That's why he hates Bill Belichick.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you're going to get.
So we are calling the Jets season already. It's over.
we said it. We said it back in the NFL preview. It's a wrap. I mean, I like Zach Wilson. I think he's a great guy. You know what I'm saying? But when you throw your quarterback out on the island like that, that tells me exactly how you plan on setting the tone for the rest of the season.
Oh, my fucking God. And New York Jets fans, leave that poor guy's mom alone. It ain't his fault. It ain't her fault. He's throwing interceptions.
No, okay? No. You know what it is? It's Jets fans' fault. Very exactly what it is. I blame Jets fans. That's right.
You know, New York has a habit of trading up for subpar quarterbacks. Daniel Jones.
I would have never. Listen. Where were the Jets? They were number
two.
So they had the opportunity to take Justin Fields, but regardless of what quarterback, they could have redrafted Joe Montana from 1979 and brought him to the present. And they still would have found a way to fuck up Joe Montana. That's how bad the New York Jets are. I'm dead ass fucking serious, too.
All right. Next up, we have a game that I was hoping the Bengals would win. I was sharing the Bengals on this game. Because I want good things for Joe Burrow. But the Bengals came up short against the Chicago Bears. But Andy Dalton got hurt. Justin Fields is your new starting quarterback coming into this week. Mm. And the Bengals, those white jerseys are sick, boy.
I know. Late Dyson thought I was going to say Joe Namath. Him too. I didn't want to desecrate. Well,
okay, so with Joe Namath, if he was on the Jets now, the same thing would have happened to his leg just faster.
No, that's Joe Theismann.
Oh, yeah, that's Theismann.
No, Namath would have definitely threw more interceptions and touchdowns just like his whole career average is, but that's another story for another day.
Seidman is another story because wasn't he a Jet?
I think when he got better, maybe? No? Or did he retire with that fucked up injury? I don't know.
No, that was the last play he ever played.
When Seidman was a Redskin.
When Lawrence Taylor turned his leg around.
Theismann was a Redskin. I think he was drafted by the Redskins. He was young.
I don't know.
They murdered that fucking
some dude named Joe died.
Okay.
So we got the Cincinnati Bengals and the Chicago Bears.
So we've 2 weeks ago, we got flashes of what Justin Fields can do. Last week, we got flashes of what Justin Fields can do. Because had he played the whole game, I think they would have actually won.
But the Bears did win.
I mean, the Bears did. Well, I think they would have. Well, so let me rephrase that. If he would have played the first game, I think they would have won. Because I don't think they didn't win with Andy Dalton in week one.
No, they won week one. I think the Bears are 2-0.
Are they?
Let me make sure. Just go ahead and talk. Say your thought.
Are they? Yeah, they are, matter of fact.
Yeah, they're 2-0.
Well, we've seen, but you know what? We've seen flashes. See, that's what happens when you don't pay attention to the Bears. Okay, it's my fault. I'm so sorry. But we've seen flashes. And I did say that Andy Dalton was probably on the best Bears team that this Bears team has had in a long time.
Oh, no, they are 1-1. Okay, they are 1-1.
So they lost, right? They lost.
Yeah, they lost the first week, yes.
Yeah, okay. Either way, we saw flashes of what Justin Fields can do. When given the opportunity to. He's QB1 now. I think that my biggest fear with Justin Fields has nothing to do with Justin Fields. You know what it has to do with? Matt Nagy. That's what I'm going to call him. I called him Ryan Nagy last year, too.
Yeah, you gave him like six different names. Dan Nagy, Jack Nagy.
Jack Nagy. Jumping Jack Nagy. Sounds like a fucking wrestler Vince would push.
Sounds like Bieber jumping Jim Manziel's retarded cousin.
But that's what I'm saying. So Matt Nagy has a habit of breaking quarterbacks in the worst way. Not the best way at all. My biggest fear is that they need to move the ball downfield more with Justin Fields. Justin Fields is a great deep ball thrower. Probably one of the best deep ball throws I've seen since Warren Moon. They have the running backs. They got Allen Robinson, who's Allen Robinson is. The guy that Bill Belichick has been salivating for years.
The most underrated, underpaid receiver in the NFL, yes.
Yes, with Bill Belichick wants to back up the Brinks trucks too, and nobody wants to. They don't want to trade him. He tried to trade for him when he was on the Jags. Didn't want to do it. Tried to trade for him when he was on the fucking on the Bears last year when he was unhappy. They didn't want to fucking do it because they know Bill Belichick gets Allen Robinson. It's over. But that's another story for another fucking day. They'll need the Justin Fields. As long as they give him the deep ball, I think the Bears are going to be okay. If they don't, and they try to hamper Justin Fields intentionally like they did to Trubisky, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah. And on the other side of the ball, the Cincinnati Bengals look much better than they did last year.
Mm-hmm. But they got in Burrow's ass. Defense got in Burrow's ass.
Yeah. The offensive line needs to step up like they did in week one to protect Burrow, because Burrow has shown that when he is protected, he is an elite level quarterback and can do the job.
He is absolutely magical behind that thing, man. Let me tell you. Whew. All right.
Next up, we have, and we talked about this last week, Tom Brady did a video conference. It just so happened to have 328 on his back corner. And at one point in this game, the Falcons had 28 points to the Buccaneers 27, and they ended up losing 48-28.
See what happens when the Bucks get, I mean, when the Falcons get 28 points?
Tom Brady's no more.
That's when everything goes to shit. That's what happens.
And the funniest other comment that came out of this is, Hooper asked Glock, so how much tape do you watch on NFL defenses to be this good? He's like, I don't watch any tape. I just run past people.
Run my route and get past you fuckers.
Because Glock, I think, is leading the NFL in touchdown receptions right now. So.
Yeah. I think he has four.
Yeah. And him and Tom Brady as a unit in the regular season have 102 total together. So...
So the thing about Gronk is he's even more of a nightmare matchup now that OJ Howard's back.
Yes.
Because the plays that he seems to get open on are the are the two tight end ones. When they run the two tight ends,
the most unfair matchup in the NFL is lining Gronk up to run straight over the middle. Because ain't nobody covering him and they're not going to tackle him.
Nope. They ain't got no personnel to do that. I'm sorry. There's no team in the NFL that has personnel that's willing to sacrifice. The only person that you can sacrifice is maybe a linebacker, okay?
We got to remember, this man, when he played in New England, carried three all-pro Baltimore Ravens 20 yards down the field as they were trying to bring him down.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You can't sacrifice a linebacker up the middle because you know what happens? You get your boy Scotty Miller. Well, Scotty Miller hasn't been playing this year. He hasn't played yet. He got injured in the first game. So he hasn't been back yet. He'll be back in a couple weeks. But they still have other receivers that they can throw out there in the middle.
Oh yeah. Let's not forget, Chris Godwin had a good game, and Mike Evans showed up this week too.
Imagine going from 2 years ago, wondering if you still want to be in Tampa Bay, to being a Super Bowl champion, possibly going for number fucking two.
And having Tom Brady there.
And Tom Brady, man, listen. Listen, some people have all the luck.
Yeah, Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski.
Yes. Yeah. Here's the thing. My only concern now with Tampa Bay is the lack of defense. We've seen the defense.
Ndamukong Suh and Pierre Paul have not gotten off to good starts yet this season, but Sue did start to come off in the second half of this game.
Yeah. They locked everything down in that second half.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that, they're going to have to be consistent again like they were last year.
By midseason, they will be. I think they're the biggest threat to win the championship this year.
Well, right now, because look, we thought that the NFC South was a lock because we thought that the Carolina was going to have some growing pains with Sam Darnold still. But we thought they were going to be even killed. Nope.
Growing pains are not evident right now in Carolina.
Nope.
New Orleans is going to have problems.
New Orleans is who we thought they were, though. We predicted it.
Yeah, they just beat the shit out of Green Bay because they wanted to.
Yeah.
And now it's
there. Yeah, and we saw that was a fluke, and we'll get to that game.
And we know the Atlanta Falcons would be lucky if they win five games this year.
Which, that's something else that we talked about, too. Just saying.
All right, next up we have the wildest game of the Sunday. And I'm going to say the quote again, but I said it to you right before you recorded Reacts. The Minnesota Vikings lost the game to the Cardinals. At the end of the game, the Minnesota Vikings radio announcer said, "The kick is up. It is good." Oh, wait, he missed it. Really? AJ Green showed what made him a top five draft pick in this game.
Yeah, he finally showed up.
If he gets healthy, him and DeAndre Hopkins are going to be a fucking problem.
Jesus. And see, AJ Green barely even showed up in week one. Now you see
he was all over this game. He was doing old AJ Green shit in this game.
Now you see what at their full potential? Remember, this is what we talked about, though, after week one. We said that if they're this scary now,
yeah.
Imagine what they do when they're fully healthy.
They're going to get better as the year goes because Kyler Murray is just yeeting the ball all over the fucking field. He don't give a shit who he throws it to.
Well, he's protected now. Well, let me rephrase that. He's not protected per se, but he has the talent level on that side of the ball to where he no longer has to worry about fearing for his life or scrambling or running around because now the defense has to account for whatever running back they throw out there because they can dump it off to. They have to account about the fact that Kyler Murray might scramble and run with the ball. And now you got to account for fucking AJ Green and fucking DeAndre Hopkins.
And whenever Larry Fitzgerald decides to play, Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, remember we said, we don't know. The whole thing is that you can't double team everybody.
Nope. And DeAndre Hopkins is too goddamn good even when he's double teamed.
Yep. Yeah, Kirk Cousins said Kirk Cousins about to start kicking. Imagine this. Kirk Cousins has better stats than Dak Prescott this year.
But Dak Prescott has a win.
Damn.
So another game that I know made you and John Boy over there very happy was Derrick Henry and Julio Jones' absolute domination of the Seattle Seahawks defense.
Remember what I said about the Tennessee Titans? I said, ain't no way they can't go 0-2 because then they're going to. I said, they can't. There's no way that they can go 0-2.
No, no.
There's teams that can go 0-2 and probably recover. In that, in the South, you don't want to. Well, in the AFC in general, because you're going to fuck around and lose the playoff spot to the Patriots or the fucking Raiders or even the fucking Dolphins who came close to them losing the playoff spot to. I don't know about the Colts this year because they keep killing Carson Wentz.
Because Carson Wentz has two sprained ankles.
I mean, if Tyrod Taylor can fix his rib, that's a, I mean, not rib.
No, for some reason, I have a feeling his lung is going to deflate again while his ribs are hurting. But so we saw the offensive potential of this Titans team this weekend.
Finally.
And Julio Jones was like, okay, I'm ready to play.
Yes. what did one meme say? They say they took points off the board against the Titans, and the Seahawks still couldn't beat them.
And Derrick Henry, and we talked about it during the week 2 predictions, King Henry was not going to let the Seahawks beat them.
No, not at all. Not at all. Henry cannot put in two bad performances in a row.
He had a total of 272 yards in total receiving and running and 2 touchdowns in his game. He is unfair.
Oh, jeez. Oh, so, that was a good game, though, overall. Yeah. I was particularly impressed by Julio Jones, because remember, last week he didn't show up.
Yep.
And this week?
And I have a question. I asked this to John earlier. He didn't answer me. Mm-hmm. And that is, why the fuck can nobody cover Tyler Lockett? Every time I see this motherfucker, he wide open, running down the field with the ball.
So, if you remember, he spent the whole entire offseason making random videos of him catching footballs in weird positions.
This motherfucker, though, every time you see him, he's wide open with the ball in his hand, going for a touchdown. Every goddamn time you see this motherfucker.
He said Herney needs a stiff arm Pete Carroll and fix that nose.
Oh, leave Owen Wilson alone.
But Tyler Lockett has been the most underrated receiver in the last 4 or 5 years. I think it was a great pickup by Seattle, which is partly why the reason why the offense runs as well as it does is because of Tyler Lockett. Is the big problem has always been the defense. Now, I think the other problem that with Seattle Legion of Snooze. The other problem with Seattle is that now, I mean, that specter of a contract of Russell Wilson is still lurking.
So they paid him, and he hasn't. He's done his job, but not for a complete season, and it's been worrying.
No, we'll put it this way. I can name 5 teams, 5, right now, off the bat, that will give Russell Wilson max money next year. One of those would be the Steelers because, you know, Roethlisberger is going to retire.
Okay.
Off time. Washington, because if they fuck around, they're going to fuck around and find out about how bad this shit is. Who else? I say the Falcons. Falcons will definitely pay. I don't think Matt Ryan can stay where he's at and be successful. They're going to have to make a change of scenery.
I think the Saints would pay too.
The Saints would pay easily. And now Houston Texans, because they keep killing their quarterbacks or putting them in scandals, whichever one.
And they don't want the scandalous one to play because it'll ruin their game plan of causing the scandal so people will stop trying to trade for him.
Well, you know, once this FBI thing kicks in, though, however.
So John said Lockett is a Niners killer. Dude catches everything. Yes, and it's.
Yeah. That's it. He has a whole set of YouTube and Instagram videos where he goes out and catches the football in weird fucking positions. There's one where he runs, jumps, does the splits, and catches the football in between his legs one-handed. That's what you're dealing with. There's one where he catches the ball behind his back.
Oh, yeah. I remember when O.J. Howard tried that with Jameis Winston and it turned into an interception. And they blame Jameis.
They blame Jameis. Jameis, this is your fault. I didn't tell O.J. Howard to catch the ball behind his back. It's your fault, man.
But
I mean, I think of any excuse in the world to get Tom Brady, though. I mean,
right?
Listen,
right.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So next up was probably the second best game of the weekend. The Cowboys and the Chargers had themselves a game, and again, the Justin Herbert not being able to do regular things cost the Chargers, and yet.
The Chargers, The Chargers didn't start this game very well, and because they didn't start this game,
is Seattle just missing one piece, or they're missing a defense?
Yeah, they're missing. They're just missing one piece. They're missing 11 guys on defense. That's
14 because you need people to come in and when other guys get tired.
Okay, 22. They're missing 22 pieces on defense. It's not Russell Wilson's fault that they can't get shit done. They have a running back. Carson is a good running back, and any guy that they bring in at running back seemingly can know how to do it. But how much is the offense going to be on the field for?
And there's only one player on defense who's constantly consistent, and that's the linebacker, number 52.
Yeah. Which I find it hilarious that they didn't want to pay Jadeveon Clowney a boatload of money when they could have.
Nope, but they just let him go to Cleveland.
Yeah, just let the motherfucker walk. That's cool. No big deal.
But yeah, but this is what I was talking about with Justin Herbert. He does the easy quarterback. He doesn't do the easy quarterback stuff. He does the hard stuff very good.
Mm-hmm. So the problem, the big issue was is that they didn't get Akeelah the ball very much. We know that Dallas' defense is opportunistic. They're not good. They're opportunistic. Mm-hmm. The problem is that Justin Herbert is opportunistic. And he will do the easy shit in such a stupid way that the Cowboys took advantage of it.
And when Justin Herbert does the amazing shit, he does that to perfection. Mm-hmm. That's weird.
Yeah. It's. I just don't get how you have a top five receiver and you still find a way to throw a top five receiver and a top 10 running back and you still find a way to fuck it up. And that's exactly what Justin Herbert did. Now, on the flip side of that, the Cowboys' backup running back, however, the guy that backs up Ezekiel Elliott, just might end up taking the starting job.
I have a feeling that Ezekiel Elliott is going to be hitting the trade block here in the next couple of weeks. This man got paid and hasn't done shit since he cashed the check.
I mean, let's be honest. If you got paid, wouldn't you? I mean, if you know that Jerry Jones did what he did to several players, up to and including Terrell Owens, right? And you see that he jerked around Dak Prescott for so long, for two years.
And he tried to jerk Ezekiel Elliott around.
Yeah, nah, fuck that. You're going to get the bare minimum out of me. He made sure that he didn't have any performance incentives, nothing. Pay me all my money up fucking front.
All guaranteed.
All fucking guaranteed.
All
my little coins. And that's exactly what Ezekiel Elliott did. I don't blame him for not doing shit. At this point, you should have known it was a setup. If he Jerry Jones said that running backs were important, he did. He said that. They're not as important. They don't last long. Okay, then you're going to pay me my coins until I'm 30-plus, and then I'm good. I'm retired for the rest. I'm straight. I don't need nothing else. And it's in Texas with no taxes or nothing. He won't even need to go to another team. He'd just be like, fuck it. I don't feel bad for the Cowboys.
I'll keep buying my little half shirts because they half off. Yep. And I'll just chill.
I don't blame Zeke at all. Get your fucking money.
So the thing you need to look at with Dallas is Dak Prescott looks really fucking good.
Which he did before he got hurt last year. The problem is they couldn't stop nobody to put their life dependent on it.
Exactly. Amari Cooper is playing inspired football. CeeDee Lamb is actually showing out. He is showing that he will be the number one receiver on his team in the next year or two.
Yeah, yeah. CeeDee was fucking from LSU, right?
Yes.
It's crazy that they got two LSU guys. I mean, not LSU, but two SEC guys at receiver.
You gotta remember, CeeDee sat out half the season, which is why he dropped in the draft to the Cowboys.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
the year before the COVID season, the 2019 season.
Jokes on everybody else, huh?
All right, next up, we have the game that gave me the most joy of the weekend. The Kansas City Chiefs getting Patrick Mahomes by Lamar Jackson in a jump pass to where the wide receiver on the Ravens was wide open and Tyrann Mathieu just stood there with his hands on his head as the Ravens beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
So it was a far cry from what it was last week when the Ravens lost at the last minute
to the Raiders.
Now it was the other side that the Chiefs lost in the last minutes to the fucking to the Ravens.
And I'm not saying we get joy when the Chiefs lose, but We get joy when the Chiefs lose.
What did Thanos say? He doesn't. I don't usually laugh at when the universe crumbles or some shit like that. But this does put a smile on my face.
Yes.
This does put a smile on my face, and I know that John could agree too.
Oh yeah, John texts me. He's like, "Let's go, Ravens."
He's out there cheering on the offensive coordinator. Come on, Harbaugh. Come on.
No one ain't near one like that motherfuckers either.
You know what I'm saying?
But that play that I'm talking about, Lamar Jackson did something that that not many people could do. He was running to the left, jumped in the air, turned his upper body. When he ran to the left, both safeties came down and started the corners because they thought he was running. He turned his upper body and saw his wide receiver just standing there.
Yep.
He dunked.
Yep.
60-yard touchdown. Ravens win. The Chiefs should be 0-2. Kansas City, I want you to hear this. The Chiefs should be 0-2, but Baker Mayfield was an idiot.
I mean, like we predicted, though. Yeah, the Chiefs should have been 0-2 like we predicted. I said that the Ravens had to get over this hump. I said this is.
I don't know if they're over it, but they made a good dent.
Well, shit, they haven't gone over it before. Fuck this, they needed something.
Shit. Okay, they fell over this wall.
Yeah,
okay.
they needed to at least prove that they can beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That was the whole thing. That was because remember we went in what three seasons mm-hmm. and two playoffs
yeah.
where they couldn't get over that fucking hump. That was the Kansas City Chiefs.
He said, "Oh no, Mahomes' girl is going to come for you now." Saying, "Man, fuck that hoe.
Tell her to come through.
Come through.
Tell her we need the views." Fuck it. We'll go live. I'll put the fucking link to the chat. I'll send it to her ass on fucking Twitter. You got some shit to say? Come on. Come on.
Come hang out with us and watch what happens.
Just saying. Listen.
And go ahead.
This is what happens. But this is what happens, Sin, and we talked about this when we had to deal with the whole the San Francisco when they would play the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I said this is what happens when you don't reinvest in your defense and go all offense. See, when Andy Reid was the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Howie Roseman was still the GM.
Mm-hmm.
All right. While he got the pieces that Andy Reid needed to have a successful team on offense, Howie Roseman valued defense. Okay. Now in this scenario, basically Andy Reid says, "Feed me offensive players. I can't win a Super Bowl. I won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. Feed me offensive players like you feed Ryback more of whatever Ryback eats." Okay. And then that's not going to work long term. You'll be able to get that quick-ass Super Bowl that they stole from us, but it's never going to work against a team like Tampa Bay that plays really, really good defense. And it's not going to work this year, especially not in this AFC.
No, and not even with Tampa Bay.
Well, listen, if Tampa Bay doesn't make it, there's only two other teams that I think that are going to make it, which is the 49ers and then the Rams. And both of those teams have what? A really defense. Good fucking defense. Mm-hmm.
All right, and last but not least, for this week, we had – so if the Lions could find any type of consistency, they would be 2-0 probably. The Packers, Aaron Rodgers showed out, but the real story of this game was the running back's name. What is his name?
I know you talk Swift. Either Swift or the –
No, Green Bay.
Oh, Green Bay, Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones, he wore the – a necklace of his father's ashes around his neck because his father passed away recently. He scored 4 touchdowns in his game. He had one of those special games. And he lost the necklace during the game, but the offensive coordinator and the training staff were walking around the field at the end, and they found the necklace and did return it to him. And when he lost it, they asked him about it. He said, "If I lost it, that's where my dad wanted to be buried, wherever I lost it." So... shout out to him. He played great ball. Aaron Rodgers, all he really did was throw the ball to Devontae Adams, who's the best, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, and the Packers won.
Yeah, so I just want to say for the record that because anytime anybody mentions four touchdowns in a single
game. The Al Bundy Award.
Al Bundy Award, baby. Woo! It's the best thing. See, I'm trying to blow up this picture and it won't let me. There we go. Can I blow it up now? No, it won't let me. There we go. All right. So everybody give Aaron Jones his Al Bundy Award. You ready for the – let's do it. Let's do it. Where's it at? Where's the button? Where's the button? Where's the button? Okay. There we go. Oh, nope. That's not it. Al Bundy Award. There you go. Yes, right there. Everybody give him the Al Bundy Award. There you go. Woo! Al Bundy Award, baby.
The Polk High legend. And yes, guys, the Lions' consistency has been losing. You are right there. But they show heart this year.
Like Dan Campbell, they said they're going to grind and rip out tendons and scratch and claw.
Bite kneecaps. And
bite kneecaps and shit. And they're going to be doing a lot of that because they're going to be on their ass half the time. Thank you, Dan Campbell.
So that is it for week two, baby.
So now we are going into week three predictions, y'all.
You guys know how this goes. They go rather quickly. And I know Hollywood's wife is like, this shit better hurry the fuck up so I go to bed. So let's go ahead and get this shit started. We are starting off with the Carolina Panthers at the Houston Texans. We already discussed this. The Carolina Panthers, I am picking to beat the Houston Texans.
Carolina Panthers by 36. Specifically 36 points. I don't know why. I just... Carolina Panthers are going to win this one. I don't see any way that a rookie quarterback is going to come against this vaunted Carolina defense and actually cause some chaos and damage. He didn't do it last week when they had an opportunity to, and he sure as hell ain't going to do it against this defense.
Sorry. Right, next up, last year, the Los Angeles Chargers upset the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. Can the Chargers do it again this week?
I can't see Kansas City going 1-2. However, stranger things have happened. I am taking the LA Chargers in this one.
I am begrudgingly taking the Chiefs because I got to catch up in the standings.
Begrudgingly.
Begrudgingly. Next up, we have the on fire, most dangerous Arizona Cardinals at poor Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
If any single one of you watching this show, that's you, Di, John, whoever. Whoever watches this on syndication or whatever the fuck, if any of you pick the Jaguars, any of you, just mail me your address and I will slap the dog shit out of you.
Actually, I got something better for you.
What?
If you want to pick the Jaguars, I have a nice Nevada Atlantic Oceanside view here in Nevada. I will sell you.
Yes, I'm picking the Cardinals. This. I would whatever fat if you're playing daily fantasy, you stack Murray, Hopkins, and Jones. Stack them. You hear
Green.
Me? Murray, Hopkins, and Green, and the defense. Stack it. That's all you need for the rest of it. That's it.
All right. Next up, we have Justin Fields making his NFL debut with the Chicago Bears as a starting quarterback against the Cleveland Browns without Jarvis Landry.
So my concern is the Bears don't know what offense that the Browns are going to bring to.
If Matt Nagy can't figure out that it's going to be Hunt and Chubb the whole game, then Matt Nagy should have been fired 2 years ago. Oh wait, he should have been fired 2 years ago. I'm taking the Cleveland Browns.
Me too. Although I do think that Justin Fields will have a surprisingly decent game, but not enough to actually win this.
If Justin Fields stays on his feet, because in the preseason when they played a team with a decent defense, the Buffalo Bills almost decapitated Justin Fields because the Bears' offensive line is not that good.
No, not at all. And you got to deal and with the boys.
Now you got them boys coming in, Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. Next up we have Tyler Heinicke and the Washington football team at Michael Vick and the Buffalo Bills.
The days of the strong Washington football team defense are gone. The Bills do not want to go 1-2 against Bill Belichick in the same division as you. Not going to happen. Got to take the Bills in this one.
Yeah, I got the Bills too. They are the better football team. I do like Washington. I think Washington is going to end up with a decent season, but just not right now.
No.
Next up, we have the man with two sprained ankles taking on King Henry in his court as the Colts are at the Tennessee Titans.
Is Carson Wentz going to be able to play with two sprained ankles?
Frank Reich has not said anything yet.
Well, it might end up being Frank Reich having to come in and play quarterback.
Because they let Jacoby Brissett walk to the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. They might end up having to have Frank Reich suit up because, listen, I don't know who the fuck is going to play.
We saw Derrick Henry last year against the Colts have two games of over 200 yards rushing in each against the Indianapolis Colts.
True. Well, they do have the rookie Sam Ellinger back there. So if he needs to play, he's a gunslinger. It should be interesting. But I worry about this Colts team. I really honestly do.
Bring back Rivers.
If they go 0-3,
they're done. They're done ski.
Which means that I honestly think they're going to go 0-3.
Yeah, I got the Titans here. Yeah, I'm gonna take the Titans. After losing week one, the Titans are pissed off.
Yeah.
And they showed it last week, and they're going to show it again. Against a Seattle team who is much better offensively than the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, yeah, but it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't scenario for the Colts. Because you sure as hell don't want to play Tennessee with a rookie quarterback. And you sure as hell don't want to play Tennessee with a quarterback with two sprained ankles. Yeah, that can't move.
Shit, fucking Mike Vrabel might suit up and go tackle this motherfucker.
Hey, a show of hands in here. A show of chat. Let me read this for Johnson. One's going to go out there like the ship captain of Family Guy. Hey, with the two peg legs. Hey, by a show of hands here, who remembers? Oh, fuck what I was going to say. I don't remember. You threw me off track now. God damn it. I forgot what I was going to say.
All right, moving on. Next up, we have the New Orleans Saints coming off the worst defeat of theirs in the year at the New England Patriots.
Ooh. I think
Mac Jones is the highest rated quarterback in the NFL. When it cut on dropbacks, he has a 90.9% quarterback.
Wait a minute, who's playing the Patriots again?
The Saints.
Ooh, I don't care how much Jameis Winston can see. I hope he can see all this ass whooping that Bill Belichick is about to deliver to him.
Like, I hope he can see Matt Judon, Kyle Van Noy, and fucking Dante Hightower.
Although I will tell you that it's going to be a low scoring game. I think we've shown the recipe on how to actually stop Alvin Kamara. Mm-hmm. I think that the Patriots are going to take this one.
Yep, I'm taking my boys, the Pats. Next up, we have Tank Bowl 1, 3 weeks into the season.
Oh wow! Which
we have the Atlanta Falcons at the New York Giants.
Well, you know what, though? This isn't as bad as it could be. This would probably be the only game of the season where Saquon Barkley absolutely goes off. Because there is nothing that the Falcons have shown me on offense, defense, special teams, in the coaching room, in practice, in training camp. They haven't shown me shit that could tell me they could even remotely stop a third-string running back, let alone Saquon Barkley. I'm taking the New York Giants to get their first win of the season.
Giant John said Belichick is going to give Jameis nightmares.
Yeah, go give him bad nightmares, horrible nightmares. It's all bad. Right.
I'm taking the Giants too. And if Saquon Barkley tears his quad again, I am just going to stop picking the Giants all season.
Only if he goes for 100 and tears his quad, everybody will be fine. No big deal.
Next up, we have an AFC North matchup: Joe Burrow and those Bengals against the TJ Wattless Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh.
The Steelers pass rush got hurt bad when TJ Watt got hurt.
Well, we got the wily young kid against the veteran. Well, the wily veteran against the slapped it young kid. I know we've been on this Bengals bandwagon this year. It just might have to come down to it. I think the Bengals might have this one.
I already put my initial on the Bengals. I trust in Joe Burrow and fuck the Pittsburgh Steelers.
My God, man.
Next up, we have Lamar Jackson coming off of getting over the Chiefs hump, taking on a very feisty Lions team a team in which a coach might come and bite Lamar Jackson and kneecap himself.
Some would call this a trap game, given where it's at. It's not a trap game. The Lions are going to get their ass whooped. I'm sorry. It's just, it's just life.
I think Lamar found his groove last week. They're going to be better offensively. Defense, they still have question marks. But I don't think Jared Goff is used to Detroit yet, so I'm going with the Ravens.
What do you mean he's not used to Detroit? He played in L.A. was essentially Detroit with the defense last year. He had no weapons last year because Brandon Cooks kept dying.
And but, so he did Cooper Kupp. But no, he had Russell Woods, though, who led the team in reception. So.
Yeah, but who heard of him beforehand?
Actually, everybody here in the Pro Bowl in the 3 years beforehand. Russell Woods has been a Pro Bowler for the last 4 years.
Screw you and your facts, okay? First of all, you're talking about facts. We don't deal with facts over here, okay? Speculation and hearsay is all we care about around here.
Anyway, I'm going with the Ravens also. Next up, we have the New York Jets taking on a very vaunted defense and a refreshed Denver Broncos. Zach Wilson is just going to fucking die before the end of the season.
Fuck. This man had the – well, at least he got the – he played Jacksonville in the first game, right? Was it Jacksonville they played?
No. Remember the Jets lost the first game too.
Who they play in the first game again?
Somebody who beat their ass?
I mean, Zach was
– go ahead and talk about this game real quick.
Zach Wilson had a decent game. I thought they beat the shit
out of him. No, he only threw one touchdown. And now he's on broken coverage.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
NFL Week 1. They played the So last week they got blown up by the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
The week before. Oh, it was the Sam Darnold Carolina Panthers game.
Oh, the week one, yeah, that was bad.
Von Miller is Von Miller again.
Do you realize he had to play some of the most fucked up ass defenses in the first 2 weeks?
And now he's got to go to Mile High and deal with them?
That's what I'm saying. Then you had to play fucked up ass Carolina. And then you had to play the fuckery that was New England. Now he's playing fuck all in Denver in Mile High, right? It's in Denver, right?
It's in Denver.
Oh my fucking God. See, this is why I don't feel bad for Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence should be happy that he didn't get drafted by the Jets, because at least he could say that Jacksonville is inherently bad. Okay, at least we have that. All right. Now Zach Wilson, who he was BYU, right? That's where he's from. BYU.
He went to Bring Them Young. Yes, he did.
He inherently has to come to a Jets team who inherently has three great defenses in his division. So that's 6 games this year that it's fuck all. Now he has to fuck around and play other teams with other good defenses. Oh my God.
I'm going with the Broncos here.
I think I am too.
So you're set on the Jets, right? Yeah.
No. Oh, no. 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 Hell no.
Remember, I caught you with that once last year.
Yeah, I'm like, God damn it.
All right. Next up, we have the Tua Tagovailoa-less Miami Dolphins taking on the hot Las Vegas Raiders.
Dolphins and Raiders. Dolphins with Jacoby Brissett against the Raiders, who are absolutely doing it.
We're just on fire right now.
Yeah, it's in Vegas, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Raiders all day.
The Raiders in this one. Next up, what I think is actually going to be the game of the week, we got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, that's good. That is the game. So, this is the first time Tom Brady playing his Rams team has had all the firepower in the world that he has.
Yeah, because when they beat him in the Super Bowl, Tom Brady didn't have any weapons.
None. On the flip side of that, the Rams are more well-equipped at the quarterback range than they were when they had Jared Goff.
Yes.
And now they're more equipped with running back that'll actually play all the snaps in the game.
And Sony Michel is there too.
Yeah. So, game of the week, I still want to say that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the better team, and they'll beat them.
Yeah, I think the Buccaneers are going to win. I think Tom Brady will tie Peyton Manning's four passing touchdowns for a fifth consecutive game this week because the Rams like the blitz, and Tom Brady picks apart the blitz each and every year. So I think
– no, go ahead.
I think the Buccaneers are better than the Rams.
You know what the problem is with blitzing? You can blitz somebody if they have only one or two guys that are good.
Yeah, Brady has six.
Yeah. There ain't no way. You ain't blitzing. And then, and that offensive line will protect Tom Brady with their life.
Leonard Fournette is actually became a good football player again.
Yeah. You're not gonna be no blitzing. You're gonna have to actually play actual defense now.
But it will be a fun game to watch though.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Next up we have the Seattle Seahawks taking on, you like that? Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. But Dalvin Cook got off last week. That's why that game was close with Arizona.
So Seattle's 0-2 or 1-1?
1-1.
And the Vikings are 0-2.
Yes. Two very close losses.
If Russell Wilson don't find a way to not Russell Wilson, if the Seahawks don't find a way to stop the run,
Dalvin Cook is gonna run all over the asses.
Yeah. And Kirk Cousins has been playing good. They are having the same problem that a lot of teams had going against the Chiefs last year and not playing 60 minutes of football.
Yep. But Kirk Cousins has not been turning the ball over this year like he did in previous years.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Seattle Seahawks defense is still trash.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. I'm thinking I'm going with the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Purple People Eaters also.
Yeah, we're looking at that one. Yeah, definitely for sure.
Because I think Adam Thielen and Jefferson are good enough to cause problems. But this is going to be the Dalvin Cook show.
Yeah. Yeah. Will Gronk watch more film or porn this week?
He will watch more porn and then run past the defenders on the Rams. Because he will be 5 pounds lighter when he watches porn and then fucks his hot girlfriend.
He's Lou Gallows. When I hit my smoking hot wife.
Next up, we have a team that can't stop the run against a team who lost most of their running backs. The Green Bay Packers at the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, jeez. Fuck it. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to come in there and run. Fuck it. It is what it is, okay? It is what it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Is this where Trey Arrier makes some noise? Because he's a more mobile quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, I think that you're going to see, with the lack of running backs that we have, and like I said, it's bad that we're stuck with – I'm not saying that Kerryon Johnson's a bad running back. I mean, with anything – he has fresh legs because they obviously didn't run the ball in Detroit to begin with. But that's another story for another fucking day. I think you're going to see a different type of 49ers offense this week. It's not going to look like it does normally because of the lack of running backs.
I honestly think you're going to get a heavy dose of George Kittle and Debo Samuel in this game.
True, but I also think that you may see some Trey Lance chicanery going on down there too. We might see. We'll see.
I still don't trust the Green Bay Packers, so I'm going to pick the 49ers this week.
The Green Bay Packers don't trust the Green Bay Packers, so you're right on that one.
All right, and last but not least, we got our Monday night game, an NFC East matchup of the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. This might be a fun game.
The Cowboys defense has been very opportunistic, right? Remember we talked about this earlier. I said they're very opportunistic. They'll give up big plays, but they'll also make a fool out of you if you want to fuck around and find out.
And Dak is playing on another level right now.
Yeah. The key is they're gonna have to take the chains off of Jalen Hurts in order to be able to make this work. The Philadelphia Eagles defense, however, might be what makes this game really interesting. Because they got enough to really slow down, and you obviously see they have no problem injuring and maiming people.
I'm gonna tackle somebody like this.
You know, I mean, just saying. So I'm gonna roll the dice on this one, and I'm gonna go with the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm going with the Cowboys here. I think they're the better all around team.
They might need to post a Craigslist ad for a running back in Berkeley. Fuck.
So that's week three, my friend.
That is week three. Man. Well, it was a pleasure, sir. It was a pleasure as always. You know how we do this. So make sure that if you guys are watching this live, make sure you check out our reactions that we do. They come out 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern, unless we drop something special in between every fucking day. You know what I'm saying? And that's really it. And you know, you can always catch us every Wednesday around 9-ish.
And also, if you guys want some air freshener, go to one of the reaction videos and just click the link and get a free month of air fresheners from Ride Fresh.
John, anywhere in the Bay Area at this point, we might need to. There might be somebody in Silicon Valley that can double as a running back. Or maybe we can find a way to get that Australian football rugby dude that we had back in 2016 to come back over to the States for the.
You know who you guys need?
Who?
The guy who created Napster because he was very good at running from the feds.
I would say John McAfee because he got away with running from the feds too, but he died.
All right. With all that being said, we hope you guys enjoyed NFL Week 3. And we will see you guys next Wednesday with another one. We are out this thing.
Deuces. Have a good night, y'all.